14. But let's go ahead and let me read, beginning in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren," Ephesians 6:10, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." And the church says, amen. Amen. You know, we're nearly finished with this great epistle. And as I told the early service, anytime, you know, as we teach through the books of the Bible, I always, as I get close to the end, I always say, I just hate to leave this book, because it's like the best book in the world, but they're all the best books in the world, amen? And so I hate to even leave Ephesians, because I'll tell you, it has been for me, again, this is the third time I've taught Ephesians in this church. This has been one of the best times for me than it's ever been. Loved one, as you grow in Christ, do you know that each time, every year, you get deeper and deeper with the Lord? When you first come to Christ, you know, John 3:16, everybody knows God. John 3:16, you memorize it. But after about 30 or 40 years, John 3:16 is a lot deeper for you in your heart than it was 30 years ago. Does that make sense? And that's the way it's been with me for Ephesians. This morning, you know, we're going to put on the second piece of armor. I believe that there are seven pieces, and I include prayer in that, verse 18. And so the first piece that we put on, remember, we girded ourselves up with the truth of God's word. Now, if we don't do that part, girding ourselves up with truth, to know the truth that sets us free, then all the other pieces of the armor are not going to work, because they all attach to the belt of truth. And so this morning, we're going to put on the second piece of armor, and I'm going to spend a lot of time and give you a lot of scripture, because the breastplate of righteousness, man, it is so vital. All the pieces of the armor are defensive, loved one, except one. And there's only one offensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Spirit. But the breastplate of righteousness, see, you have the truth of God. Righteousness flows from knowing the truth of God's word. And it is vital that you understand this breastplate that is provided for us in the armor of God. So you say, well, Bill, what exactly is the breastplate? Well, first of all, the breastplate, in the Greek word for that is thorax. So we know what the thorax is. It's from the neck to the thigh. Amen? This is where all the vital areas of your body, you have your lungs, you have your heart, you have the Twinkie that you ate last night right here. You know what I mean. All that junk, okay? But, you know, your kidneys and all, everything is right there. This is the vital area of your torso. And so the breastplate, the thorax, goes right there. It covers all the vital areas, organs, if you will. However, we're not talking about natural armor. We're talking about the spiritual armor of God that we are putting on. Amen? So the word there, so the breastplate, and the next word, the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness is God's perfect standard for every person that has ever existed. In other words, the Bible tells us there is none that doeth good, there is none that is righteous, no, not one, but God is righteous. And his righteousness is absolutely perfect. And this is the righteousness that we're talking about. So it tells us in verse 14, it says, therefore, it says, stand therefore. That's a command. You got to stand. We're not going to back down. We're not going to run from the wicked one, the God of this age. We're not going to run from the deceiver. He is defeated. Amen? Okay, with all that being said, having girded ourselves up with truth, something that we've already done, now we move into another area. We're going to literally put on the breastplate of righteousness. So let's look at that scripture again. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what do you think that the breastplate, since I've told you that it is the thorax here, what do you think that it does? Well, it protects us, doesn't it? But it protects our spiritual self, if you will. It protects the very area of the spiritual center of the believer's life. It protects us. This is the seat of the emotions, if you will, of the believer. Meaning it protects our heart. Do you know emotions are real? I know you know that, but sometimes I think people think, oh, what do you mean you feel this way? Well, it's an emotion. Can you feel fear? Yes, you feel it. Can you feel guilt? Absolutely. So emotions are real. And one of Satan's schemes is to attack your emotional realm. That's why we need the breastplate of righteousness. I don't know about you, but you know, my heart sometimes can get astray. And you know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:20, it says, "For if our heart condemns us," have you ever had your heart condemn you? If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Listen, loved one, my heart is, I tell you, it is skilled. Oh, it is overly skilled. It can pick out every failure. You know what I mean? Everything that I've ever done wrong. Your heart can sometimes condemn you. You know, it's kind of like this. Let's bring it up into the natural realm. Whenever you reach a certain age, you know, you don't see as well. Does that make sense? So if you're a wise person like me, you go and buy one of those big, gigantic, magnifying mirrors that you attach to the wall when you shave, and you can, I don't know how many X's I need, but it just, there it is. Do you understand? And you go, what in the heck is that? You know, do you understand? Come on. Okay, yeah. And I'm going, I didn't know that was there. What's that doing there? You know, you look in your teeth or what, you go, oh my gosh. Well, see, our heart kind of does the same thing at times. It's an expert at doing that. But here, you know, the deal that we need to remember, see, we need to know God's truth. Listen, you know, conviction is a good thing because conviction comes from the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen? But condemnation is from the wicked one. And oh, how he wants to tear up your heart, loved one. Listen, he wants your emotional realm, the seat of emotions, if you will, your spiritual center. He wants you to have an up and down emotional roller coaster of a life. He wants you to fear to dominate your life and guilt and all the rest of the things. He wants you torn up constantly. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:13, it says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. And Botox will do the same thing if you have enough of it. You know what I mean? Listen, but it goes on and it says, but by sorrow of the heart, the spiritual center of our lives, by sorrow of the heart, it says the spirit, not the body, our spirit is crushed, it's broken, and that's what happens. You know, Paul, when he was waging warfare, he said this that's not where I wanted to go. Don't you love it when I mess up? See, it makes me feel good, because then I'm just like you. Okay. Let's back up. The breastplate of righteousness protects us, okay? Our spiritual center. It says this about our hearts, what we must do. In Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words, Solomon writes. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Here it comes. Keep them. Keep God's word in the midst of your heart. And then he tells us why. He says, For they, God's word, are life to those who find them. They are health to all of the flesh. And then he tells us to do something. He says, keep. That word means guard. It means protect. He says, whatever you do, keep your heart. Guard your heart. And he tells us how. With all diligence, meaning above everything else. And then he tells us why we must guard our hearts. He says, for out of our heart flow all the issues of this life. Everything comes from right here, the spiritual center of the believer. And it's very important that we know that. Listen, the heart is the center of not only our spiritual activity, it is also the center of all of our human activity, okay? Everything in life, everything begins first in the heart. It doesn't begin here. It begins right in the heart. Everything that is good, everything that is evil, fear, lies, goodness, kindness, humility, it all comes right out of the heart. It originates in the heart, meaning the real you, the real me. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34? Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks." If you want to know what a person is like, just listen to what's coming out of their mouth. You see, the heart is an accurate, perfect gauge of who that person really is. Why? Because out of the heart, Solomon said, spring all the issues of this life. So every action is always a heart action. You know, people say, well, you know, I can't forgive that person. Well, yes, you can. And the reason that you can't or you won't is because of your heart. You have to get your heart right. Amen. I will forgive, I will walk in love, and so forth. It's a heart action. So look at Ephesians 6:14 again. It says, having, that's past tense, and I'll get into that in a moment, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Question, when you think of the breastplate of righteousness, or just righteousness in general, do you consider it or think of it as a weapon to defend you? A weapon, one of the greatest pieces of armor in the Bible. Now, the thing is here, Paul, speaking of his own warfare, he says in 2 Corinthians 6:7, he says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, and then he says, and by the armor of righteousness, God's righteousness, the armor of righteousness on the left hand and upon the right hand. In other words, I'm fighting battles on each side. But he says, I have the armor of righteousness. Now, what kind of righteousness is verse 14 telling us of or speaking of? It's very important that we get this one. Whatever you do, it is not self-righteousness. Amen? Oh, that is so important. Listen, that's exactly what the devil desires, is you to look at, oh, look, I'm in church every Sunday. I put something in the offering plate every Sunday, a dollar at least. You know what I'm saying? I knew a man one time, and he was a great guy. And he would come over to my house every evening in my first pastorate. His name was John. Very handsome man. He was like a general in the military, retired or whatnot. And so, but at 5 o'clock every evening, he would come over to my house and he would bring his, I don't know if it was scotch and water, I don't know what it was, but it was his cocktail hour, you know, the happy hour, whatever you want to call it. And he wouldn't knock. He'd just walk in and sit down. Bill, how you doing? He was a very, Bill. And he said, I want to tell you something, Pastor. I said, yes, sir. What is it? He said, I have never missed a mass in my life. I fought 2 wars, and I never missed a mass. I said, well, praise the Lord, brother. I'll drink on that. No, it's a joke. But you see, that's what you call self-righteousness. Does that make sense? No, we don't want that. Boy, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to approach the throne of grace in prayer. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm not like that guy back there. I'm not like that sinner. Oh, Lord, you know, oh, da-da-da-da-da. No, listen, that gives the devil a legal right there to attack you. Because you're going and approaching the greatest God, the only God of all the universe, the greatest throne in all the universe, on your own righteousness and not the righteousness of Christ. Does that make sense? Boy, you got to be so careful on that. Don't ever focus on your righteousness. And let me tell you why. Your righteousness and my righteousness, and we're talking about spiritual warfare, don't forget, is filthy. It is dirty. It is soiled. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 64:6, it says, we are all, every human being, we are all like an unclean thing. What a word. You got that one on your refrigerator? Good morning. I go to my wife. Good morning, you unclean thing. I would never do that. You don't do that. Unfit for God, unfit for one another. We're all like an unclean thing. It says, and all, listen now, and all our righteousness, all of our self-righteousness, God's word says, are like filthy rags. That word literally means a soiled undergarment. Man. So listen, our righteousness offers absolutely no protection from the wicked one or the attacks of the powers of darkness. Amen? We must have only the breastplate of righteousness, and only a perfect, true righteousness can guard us from the attacks of the enemy and silence the enemy at the same time. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:48, he said this, "Therefore ye shall be perfect as, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So God's standard, his perfection, is righteousness. That's God's standard. God is righteous. Man is not righteous. There was only one righteous man that ever walked the face of this earth. 1 John 2:1 says, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Man, think about that. Everything he did was perfect. That is, he met God's perfect standard. So it says, having put on, that is past tense, having put on. When did that happen? When did we put on the breastplate of righteousness? Because it's on right now. We put it on when? When you confessed with your mouth, Jesus be the Lord of my life, and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Amen? Then something happened. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, that gift of righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he says in Romans 3:24, he says, being justified freely. Remember, justified. Being declared not guilty. Justified. Being declared innocent before Almighty God. Justified. Just as if you had never sinned ever in your life. Being justified. Your past tense. Freely. Meaning, didn't cost you anything, but it cost Jesus everything. Amen? Being just freely, justified freely, it says, and it says, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is, as we know, he never sinned. He's without sin. He is the spotless, sinless Son of the living God. Only Jesus kept the law. No man that has ever walked the face of the earth has ever kept the law except Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? He obeyed the law. Well, every dot and tittle, whatever you want to call it, he obeyed it all. He's the only one that ever pleased the Father. Everything he did pleased God the Father. Can you say that about yourself? I know that if you... No, did you come in on 8:20? I can... Listen, do you know that I am now not going 8:20 anymore? No, I am going Interstate 30. That's where I'm going to do it. Yeah. Oh, never mind. I got completely off then, didn't I? Lord, I'm sorry. But listen, here's the deal. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our breastplate. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness, that we put that on. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says this, but of him, meaning God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, listen carefully, who became for us wisdom from God, sanctification from God, righteousness from God. Think about that. Oh, man, you mean all of those things? Yes, wisdom is a person. Righteousness is a person. Sanctification is a person. Redemption is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. He became for us righteousness. Jesus is all that we need in warfare, and in this life we need nothing else. Now listen, I know that you have heard me many, many times over the years talk about justification, that big word, justification, by faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone. Amen? Now, what's sad is, like I mentioned to the early service, what's sad is today, because I don't know, and I don't want to blame a movement or a seeker church or whatever. I don't care what people call their churches. You know what I mean? I'm not into that. But you know, you can go to many services today or even listen on TV. The word like justification or sanctification or propitiation, those words are no longer used hardly. It's like, no, we don't want to hurt the sheep's ears. You know, it's too much and it's too heavy. Listen, you need to know what those words mean. That's how you walk in this world. And justification is one of the most beautiful, most important words that you can ever imagine and ever cling to in your life. Listen, justification, what is justification? Justification is a judicial act. It is a legal act by Almighty God that whenever you, the believer, the sinner, you, in other words, when I came to Christ there on that beach in Florida, you know what? I didn't know what the word justification meant. I didn't know there were 66 books in the Bible. I didn't even know there were more than one kind of Bible. Do you understand? But when I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart, I was instantly saved. Amen? Now listen, the moment that I did that, I was justified. But I didn't know that. I didn't have a clue. And do you know, when I was growing up as a baby Christian, I never heard one sermon on justification by faith, what justification really is. So justification is a judicial decision by Almighty God, again, that when you ask Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life, he declares you innocent. Do you understand me? Listen, it means this. Imputation, that word that you don't hear anymore. It means, here you are, Jesus be the Lord of my life, and God imputes. Imputation is when you take what belongs to another person, and you take it over, and now you put it into that person's account. And does that make sense? And so justification is imputation, if you will. It is a one-time act. It's never going to be repeated. It's not a process. Here it comes. Justification is this. God declares you innocent. He declares you not guilty. He declares you just as if you had never sinned, and you will never be declared guilty in heaven again. Do you understand? Jesus died for our sins. Which sins? All of our sins. Well, wait a minute. What about the one next week that we don't want to do? Did he die for that? Yes, he died for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. Did God know that David, a man after his own heart, that the sweet psalmist of Israel, one of the greatest kings Israel ever had, when God saved David, the little perfect shepherd boy, did God know what he was going to do with Bathsheba? Did he know that he was going to kill Uriah, her husband? Yes. Jesus paid it all. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh man, our sin debt is paid. It's paid for. Now justification, loved one, listen, is imputed righteousness. Let me define it by Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, meaning God, right, made him, there's Jesus on the cross, made him who knew no sin, who never sinned, what? Sin. He made him sin. God punished his son instead of you and me. He died for me as me. Listen, praise God for that. For God made him who knew no sin, sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is so wonderful. So what happened there on the cross? God took all, Jesus paid all of our sin debt. God put all of our sin to Jesus' account. And then he took, or imputed, if you will, he imputed all of Christ's righteousness and he placed it in our account. Do you know why that you cannot lose your righteous standing? If you can lose your righteous standing, Christian, that means that Jesus can lose his, and that's impossible. You see, you're not in yourself, you're in Christ now. You're in him and all that he is. You're in the body of Christ. You're his body. You're sons and daughters of the living God. Oh, man, justification. We're talking about the breastplate of righteousness that we have on. Loved one, listen. Justification is that gray delete button. Justification is not pardon. You've heard me teach it. It's not pardon. You know, you got a ticket and on 820 because of whatever, and you know, and you, because you have to drive 100 miles an hour in the slow lane because they're going to run you off the road if you don't. And so you go down and you have to pay that ticket. It's on your record, and they raise your insurance rate. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
5 years from now, it's still on there. But justification is the great delete button. Our sins are now as far as the east is from the west. You cannot calculate that distance. That's what justification is, loved one. It's like it never, ever happened. Your record to God, here's your record to God. It's spotless. Why? Because your record is Jesus's record. Somebody said, well, when I got saved, I didn't feel like I was justified. Of course you didn't. Justification is not a feeling. Justification is a divine fact. Amen. Oh, how glorious is that? It's not something that happens in us. It's something that happens to us. Our position has now changed. In God's eyes, you're perfect. In God's eyes, he sees you in his perfect son. Does that make sense? Oh, and that's who we are. Remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, behold, old things have passed away. That word passed away means old things have been. I'm doing pretty good, aren't I? Yeah, one drink so far. These allergies, right? I love them. Now, old things have passed away. Why? They've been severed. You're no longer in Adam. You have now passed out of death into life. You're a child of the living God, and all things now have become new. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. So having put on our breastplate of righteousness, Jesus is our righteousness. 1 John 4:17, as he is, Jesus, as he is this very moment, so are we in this world. Now listen to me. You have to get this into your heart because we're in a war with the wicked one. And whether you know it or not, we're in warfare all the time. We're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen? But they're defeated. We've overcome the world. We've overcome the wicked one because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, we need to understand that we can come and stand in the presence of God anytime, any place, just as if Jesus could. Do you understand that? We can stand before God our Father without one ounce of inferiority, without one ounce of unworthiness at all. Why? We've already learned it all the way back in Ephesians 1:7. God has accepted us in the what? In the beloved. That's Jesus. He's accepted us. You know what that word really means? It means this, that God the Father loves you, the believer, his son, his daughter, the exact same way he loves Jesus, his own only begotten son. How can that depress any believer? Does that make you want to kick a can down the road? Come on. Man, matter of fact, you should have your handkerchiefs going up right now and the tambourines and all the rest of it. Am I in the right church? No. We are children of the Lord. The moment that we were born again, Galatians 4:6, what happens? It says, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of his Son. Listen. Into your hearts where we cry out, Abba, Father. What a great word. Abba, Daddy. That's Aramaic for Daddy, or Papa, if you will. Now listen, this is vital that we get this. Body, soul, spirit. This is a body. Amen? Now, I don't know not much of a body, but it is a body. In other words, we live in a body. Is our body redeemed? No, our body is going to return from the dust from which it's made. When we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay, but we live in a body. This is just housing something. All this is just a shell, okay? This is an earth suit. You can't get to heaven in an earth suit. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. Can't get there that way, okay? Now, so we have a body, But we also, in our body, is what we call the soul. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions of a person, of the believer, okay? Now, the moment that you are born again, let me ask you a question. We know the body's not redeemed. We have to have a body that's imperishable, that'll never perish, and so forth. So your body, the moment you were born again, did your mind, will, and emotions, were they instantly renewed? No. You got a new heart. You became the temple of the Holy Spirit. But did you get a new mind? No, I need a new mind, believe me. So what do you have to do once you become a believer? You have to renew your mind, okay? So you live in a body, you have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, but also there's something else, the Spirit. The Spirit is the real you. Do you understand? That is the real you. The Bible says in Romans 8:15, we did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear. You have received the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of adoption, or the Spirit of sonship, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. There it is again. But here's just what I want you to see about the Spirit. It says, then the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit himself, here he is, here you are. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with, not to your spirit, bears witness with your spirit that we are the children of God. That is the new birth. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit does not bear witness with your body. The body's not redeemed. Are you following me? That is so important that we get that. See, listen, the Spirit inside of you, the redeemed, the purchased Spirit, the real you, the real God woman, the real man of God. Listen to me now. It is absolutely perfect. It is eternally perfect, and it's also eternally sealed. It's important that you always know that. It says in Ephesians 1:13, talking about when we believe the gospel, it says you were, that's past tense, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee or the down payment of our inheritance. How long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's mean until you walk into heaven. Does that make sense? Ephesians 4:30, it says that don't grieve the Holy Spirit because you have been sealed with him until the very day of redemption. The word, the seal of the Spirit implies eternal security. It implies eternal ownership. God's never going to sell you. You can't be sold because you are his purchased possession. Does that make sense? So your spirit, loved one, is eternally sealed. It's eternally perfect. You know, if you've ever heard of Erwin Lutzer, you know, Running to Win. He's on KDKR. I don't know what time he comes. 8 o'clock in the morning, I think, because I catch him sometimes on the way in. And I read one of his books. It was entitled, How You Can Be Sure You'll Spend Eternity with God. Let me just read a little lengthy thing about this justification that we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. This is just a little excerpt. It says, he writes and he goes, imagine a book entitled The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It contains all the perfections of Christ, all the works that he did, his holy, perfect obedience, his perfect purity, his perfect motives. And then imagine another book, The Life and Times of, and he says, insert your name, so I'll do mine. It says, The Life and Times of Bill Quinn. It contains all of your sins, Bill. All of your immoralities, all of your lies, all of your betrayal, all your broken promises, all of your sinful thoughts, all of your mixed motives, all of your acts of disobedience. That'll depress you, won't it? Now, finally, he says, imagine Jesus Christ taking both books and stripping them of their covers. And then he takes the contents of his own book and he slips it between the covers of your book. And we pick up the book to examine it. The title reads, The Life and Times of Bill Quinn. And we open the book and turn the pages and we find no sins listed. And all that we see is a long list of perfections, perfect obedience, moral purity, absolute perfect love. The book is so beautiful that even God adores it. What a great picture of justification by faith. D- Do you know that we have a book just like that right this minute, loved one? Do you understand that? What did Jesus do? Colossians 1, 13 and 14. When he died upon the cross, when he paid the sin debt of the world. Listen to what happened. It says, and Jesus, having wiped out the hand of writing of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And here it comes. And Jesus has taken it out of the way. How did he do it? Having nailed it to the cross. Loved one, listen. I had a book. And my book that I had written in my disobedience and my sinful life, it was full, page after page after page. And what did Jesus do? He nailed that book to the cross, and every sin, every transgression, and every iniquity has been paid in full. Jesus said from the cross, it is finished, and it is finished forever. Amen? Oh, listen, that means this. There is not, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, there is not one written accusation against you in heaven. Why? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Loved one, listen, that is what we call the incredible, unbelievable breastplate of righteousness that we already have put on. Amen? You need to know that every day of your life. That's how vital it is to know that. Now, there are others who say that, you know, Paul is not talking about that kind of righteousness, not the righteousness of God. Look at it again. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Some say that this righteousness right here is actually speaking of personal integrity. You know, you have to beware of higher criticism. Do you understand? Of God's word. Now, let me give you a few reasons why people have translated righteousness as integrity. Number one, look at Phillips. Let me just give it to you. Phillips translation. It says, having integrity as your breastplate. Now, listen, Phillips translation is one of my favorite translations, but I don't agree with that. How about James Moffat, another great Bible? It says, wear integrity as your coat of mail. And then another Bible that I really enjoy, the Amplified Bible, which amplifies certain Greek words in the text. The Amplified Bible says, having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral standing or moral right standing with God. Listen, every Christian should be a man or a woman of integrity. Amen? We should be that. Man, we should be the most honest and upright and people that we can be. But, you know, so I agree that integrity is absolutely essential. But here's the problem. I don't want the devil to examine my integrity. Because my integrity, even though I believe I am a man of integrity, is my integrity perfect? Is your integrity perfect? Is your goodness perfect? Are you a just person all of the time? Do we walk in love every minute of the day? No. Do you see what I'm getting at? Oh, listen. I don't want my own breastplate of righteousness. I don't want that because I'm telling you what, I'm growing in righteousness. Does that make sense? Oh, I don't want that at all. Listen, integrity. And I've got this thing in my eye, man. You know what I love about being a pastor is that I can just be me. I can just be real, amen? And I don't know why I'm silly sometimes, but it's a righteous silliness. Let me ask you a question about, here you are the first day, the new birth, and now you're learning what's right and what's wrong and how to please God. Has your integrity grown since then, or was it always just perfect? No, it grows, see? That's why I don't abide the integrity thing. Integrity is something that grows. Integrity, personal integrity, is something that matures over time. We are being transformed, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed into the same image, which is Christ Jesus, we are going from glory to glory to glory in Christ-likeness to Christ-likeness to Christ-likeness. Amen? By the Holy Spirit that is working in us, in the life of the believer. So I'm going to tell you something. I do not believe for a minute just talking about personal integrity, because I'm going to tell you, listen, you cannot and I cannot stand against the wiles of the devil in your own power. You can't do it. It has to be God's supernatural power. Amen? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. You can't stand in your truth. Your truth won't help you. You can only stand in one truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. Amen? God's word. God cannot lie, the Bible says. His word is perfect truth. It'll outlast the entire universe. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So our integrity, our power, my own personal righteousness, or even my personal integrity. No. No, no, loved one. Listen to me. I need and you need, we are in a war until we go home to be with the Lord. I need a breastplate that is perfect. I need a breastplate that never, ever changes, that is eternally perfect. I need the only true breastplate of righteousness, and that is God's. Man, Paul the Apostle, he was writing about his own righteousness. I don't want my own righteousness, which is of the law. He goes on and he says, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, are you saying, Bill, that our position is and before God is righteous, perfect, and like we've never sinned? Of course, that's our position. Do we ever fail? Of course we fail. But here's the deal. We must take our position and make it now our practice. Isn't that right? In other words, we know what right living is. We know what wrong living is, okay? We need now to walk worthy of our calling, Ephesians 4:1. Remember what the word worthy means. It's a picture of a set of scales, 5 pounds, 5 pounds. It's perfectly balanced, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear God's word, you do God's word. We do that because we know the truth of God's word. So we put it into practice. Now listen, the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ keeps us completely out of hell. Praise God for that. But it doesn't keep us from the enemy trying to deceive us or tempt us, does it? No, that's why we need the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, our practice falls short. I know that. But my position and your position in Christ, it will never fall short. So the totality of our character and our conduct in the Christian life is summed up in one word, righteousness. What is that? Okay, we need to live the right way. We know what right living is, and we know what wrong living is. Paul told Timothy, when he was talking to Timothy about lovers of money in 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, oh, Timothy, he said, listen, flee those things. You don't need to be a lover of money. And then he says, pursue righteousness. He says, Timothy, go after what money can never buy. You can't buy the righteousness of Christ. It's a free gift, amen, to those who believe. He said, man, you just run from that. Now, remember this, talking about now how to walk out our righteousness. Justification is imputation. That means it takes what belongs to another, which is Christ's righteousness, puts into our account. Sanctification is, and let me back up, justification is a one-time act. It's not a process. Sanctification is a process. Sanctification is transformation. Just what I said a moment ago, where we're going from glory to glory to glory. And you cannot separate justification and sanctification. God never sanctifies those that he does not justify. Does that make sense? Very important that we know that. So Paul, writing to the church at Romans 6:13, he tells us, he says, listen, don't obey the lust of your flesh. Don't present your bodies as instruments to sin. That word instrument there is speaking of warfare, by the way. He says, but present your bodies unto the Lord as alive, as righteous, and so forth, unto righteousness, instruments of righteousness to God. Paul told Titus in Titus 2:12, he said, Titus, listen, he says, live soberly. He says, live righteously, live godly in this present age. And that's what we're to do as well. We've been endued with power from on high. We know how to live right, and we know how to do things wrong, don't we? Yeah, I love one. We've already learned how to walk worthy of our calling. We've already learned what it means to have right living and not wrong living. What have we learned just from Ephesians only? I mean, what does it say in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 about our walk, about the worthy walk? It says, be ye imitators of God as dear children and walk in what? Huh? Come on, say it. Love. There we go. We're to walk in love. Go to Ephesians 5, 8. It says, for you were once darkness, now you're light. What does it say? Now it says, walk as children of the light. You're the light of the world. Go down to Ephesians 5, 15. And what does it say there? What does it say there? See then that you walk circumspectly. Remember what that word means? It means carefully. Walk with exactness. Why? Because their days are evil. Come on, loved one, listen. We need that. We already know what we're to be doing. Your spirit, your born-again spirit, where the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're the sons of God. Your spirit is perfect, but not your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So how do we live right? We do so by renewing our mind to the Word of God. Now listen to me. We don't renew the mind. Look at chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 22. We do not renew our mind. Look what it says. You put off concerning former conduct of the old man, grows corrupt, that old man in Adam, according to deceitful lust. Okay, and be renewed where? Oh, yes, in the spirit of your mind. Listen, that is the new creation. Does that make sense? See, you're the spirit is the real you. And so what do? You renew yourself to the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man. Here it comes, created according to God. Here it comes, true righteousness, true holiness. You renew your mind. That's not a one-time thing. That's a daily thing. You have to renew your mind every day, loved one. You have to be in the Word of God. You have to meditate upon the Word of God. You have to memorize the Word of God. Why? Because your mind, your will, and your emotions depend upon it. Are you listening to me? I can't tell you how vital that is. Man, listen, if I don't open my Bible every day for me, do you know that I suffer? I need it. I need to constantly renew my mind. I need to memorize the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God. Why? My mind, my soul, you know, my will, my emotions, they depend upon the spirit of my mind doing what's right. And then what happens? Well, my will becomes God's will, you see. My emotional realm that Satan loves to beat on and attack becomes firm. And my heart, the center of all the activity, is at peace. That's why we must put that on. Romans 12, 2, you know it by heart. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be dominated by this world. Don't be controlled by this world. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? Here it goes, that you may prove. That's a great word. Test, live out, experience, that you may prove what is that good, what is that acceptable, what is that perfect will of God. We live on a planet where the father of lies is trying to control it, who was a murderer from the beginning. Loved one, you need God's word and an unarmed mind. Now listen. An unrenewed mind, that is an unarmed mind. If you don't arm your mind with God's word, here's what's going to happen. Number one, you'll never, ever put on the breastplate of righteousness, and you will never even know what it truly is. And you need that desperately because Satan attacks the mind. He attacks this your emotional realm. That's what he loves to do. He'll bring up your past sins. He'll bring up every failure you've ever done. That's why it's vital. that we practice 2 Corinthians 10, remember 3 through 5? The weapons of warfare are not carnal, mighty through God, pulling down strong. Remember that? We have to take every thought, every lie, everything that comes into our mind that comes from the wicked one. And what do we have to do with it? We have to cast it down. We have to deny it. Anything that exalts itself above the word of God, you say, no, you're not going to get it in my mind. That's not truth. That is a lie. You know, God doesn't love you. Yes, he does. He loves me. He loves me so much, he sent his only begotten son to die my death on the cross and pay for my sin. I was bound for hell. Now heaven is my home forever and ever and ever and ever. Your soul is depending on it. Your mind, your will, your emotional realm. You must renew your mind. You must know who you are. And that's not law, loved one. This is grace I'm preaching. Every believer should desire the word of God. No. We must know who we are in Christ in order to stand against the devil. Listen to me now. You know what the breastplate of righteousness? I'm just like you. I get attacked just like you do. I don't have some, do you see a halo above my head? And I don't see one above your head. We're all in the same boat together, aren't we? Okay, so I'm not telling you something that I don't do. You know what I mean? I have to do this too. Loved one, listen, you know what the breastplate of righteousness, the perfect, sinless, spotless record, man, is on me. Do you know what that does for me in this life? I'll tell you what it does. No matter what I'm facing, it gives me great confidence because it's his righteousness. And it belongs to me. It's been put into my account. It'll never be taken out. Phew. Listen. It gives me confidence. You know one thing I learned in the military? I learned that I was trained. When you go into battle, my teammates, my comrades, you can't go into battle unless you think you're going to win. You can't go into battle unless you're confident. Do you understand me? We could even say something else. Play sports. You know, when I played sports, listen to me now. If you're a football player, you have to, you go in, I'm you down, buddy. You can't go in there and go up, be, you know, when I think I'm going to tackle you. They're going to hurt you. Do you understand? You take that field. You're mine. You're going down, son. You know, I mean, that's how you talk on the field. You did. Who you think? Do you understand me? Okay. You have that breastplate on, the righteousness that can never be changed, the perfect, sinless, spotless righteousness of Christ. You walk through this life and you can be confident in war. You can, no matter what the devil, oh, look at you. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I did that. But it's forgotten. It's forgiven. Matter of fact, God doesn't remember it anymore. And yes, I did that. So what? It's over. It's paid for. See, he will lie to you. You're never going to make it. Look at you. Look what you... No. Loved one, you've got to get into the word of God. The breastplate of righteousness is the greatest confidence you can ever have in your life. No wonder Jesus said, listen... He told us in Matthew 5:6, blessed, oh how happy, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? They'll be filled. Jesus said, are you starving to death? Are you dying of thirst? Well, go after righteousness. The very, oh, heck, Bill, you're gross. The same way. No, listen, I know it's time to go, but let me say one more thing. You have to be careful in warfare about breaches in the breastplate of righteousness. What do you mean? I mean a weak spot. You see, the devil, man, weak spots in your armor, any part of the armor, they are open then for the fiery darts of the wicked one. You understand? And he hates you. He wants in, man. So you have to be right, not only with God, you have to be right with man. What's the great commandment? Love the Lord thy God, all your heart, mind, soul, breath. Okay, second one's just like it. Love your neighbor as your... Okay, Here you are, you have it all on, but you have to do what God says. That's a great commandment. And we know that if we get into wrong living can open a door, can it? The Bible tells us in James 4, 7, it says, he who knows to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Listen, loved one, we have to be careful of open doors. Now, I'm not talking about open doors I didn't know I opened it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about deliberate open doors. And one of the worst, and I see it all the time in the body of Christ, and it's so deadly. How can a born-again, spirit-filled, blood-bought Christian who is clothed in the righteousness of Christ, girded around with truth, who Jesus paid for all of their sins. Oh, listen, how can they destroy another believer? How can they lie or slander about another believer, another brother, or another sister? Do you know what, when they do that, listen to me, when a person, a believer lies against the other believer and spreads things that are not true deliberately, you know what I mean? Listen to me now. You just gave the devil legal ground and a legal right. Why? Because you just used your mouth for him. You became the accuser of God's people. You became the accuser of the brethren. And those people are cleansed like we're cleansed. Amen? We're all in the body of Christ. Oh, you can't do that. Listen, you say, well, Bill, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it is. You're accusing, when a person lies and gossips, here's what they don't understand. They're actually doing it before the throne of grace. Did you know that? How can that be, Bill? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6 that you are seated with Christ where? That is your position. God sees you already there. Does that make sense? So when you bring these accusations, you know what? When salt water and fresh water, it shouldn't come out of our mouth. That's not the way it goes. You can't curse, love God whom you have not seen and curse man whom you have seen. That can't happen. Do you see the door that you just opened? That a Christian, we don't want to do that, loved one. We don't want to do that at all. One more scripture and we're going to go home. 1 John 2:28, now little children, right now, it says, abide in him, live in him, dwell in him. It says, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Listen, Jesus may come for us today. Don't get comfortable yet, okay? In other words, get prepared to leave. I'm preaching. Now, yeah, hey, I tell it like it is. No, you understand? He may come today, amen? Now listen, if you know that he is righteous, and we know that he is. He is our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. Praise the Lord. He says, if you know that he is righteous, here it comes, you know everyone who practices righteousness, the lifestyle of habitual lifestyle of righteousness, here it comes, is born of him. Born again. Oh, listen. You have on the breastplate. You walk in this world, don't you? Man, Jesus is the lifter of our heads, amen? You've overcome the wicked one. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in this world. Now, I want to close, but I want you to listen to me. In my early, early morning prayer time this morning, and I always go over my notes early in the morning. I get up about 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock. I have my prayer time, and I go through everything. Lord, does this stink? And you know what I mean. What do you want? In other words, show me wondrous things from thy word, oh God. That's what I pray. And I said, do you want this in? And I just go through it, and I'm alone. It's dark and nothing but the light of my PC or my laptop, whatever it is. And I always say, Lord, how do I close the service? How do you want me to bring this to, well, everything that we've learned, how do we bring it to an end? And I was shocked because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm going to read exactly what he said. He said, it is time for all prodigals to come home. It's time
for all my prodigals to come home, to get out of the pig pen, to come to themselves, to get out of the mire of sin and all the rest of it. Why? Because your Father is waiting on you to come home. And what does he want to do when you come home? Because he's waiting. Oh, he's there looking just like the prodigal father in Luke's gospel. Oh, every day, and he sees a son, he sees a daughter, he sees him coming. What does he do? He lifted up his robe. He starts running. He says, oh, there's my son, there's my daughter. He was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And he comes in, and he's going to rehearse, remember, the speech to his dad, because he took his inheritance and wasted it on prodigal living. And what did the dad do? Fell upon him, weeping, kissing him. He said, oh, get the sandals. Put him on his feet. Get that ring. Give my son authority back. He's been away from me. He's been out in a far country. He said, bring the robe. Let me cover his shame. Let me cover his guilt. Let me cover his sin. Bring the robe of righteousness. You need to get out of the pig pen if you're in it. You need to come home and get right with God right this minute. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you know who you are. I love you, man. I'm not beating on you, but I'm telling you, if that's you, he says, I want you to come home now. I want you to come home right this minute. And here's how you do it. You don't have to come to this altar, but would you lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. I just want to come home this morning. I want to get right with God. I want to get it all back to normal. I want everything done. I want it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for those that are here. I thank you that you're touching each and every heart in your own special way that only you can do. And Lord, I know there were so many in the first service that got right with you. And Lord, today, bless them. Help them. We love you because there's no one like you, Lord. Thank you for your word. For we know the truth and you promised that the truth would set us free. We pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen.